We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all of these states, and the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live in-game offs on every major sport, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WYNNBET.com to start winning. And away we go, episode 212 of the Al Galdi Podcast. It is Wednesday, December 22nd, 2021, the day after the winter solstice, the day after the shortest day of the year in terms of sunlight, and that was fitting, given the lack of sunshine with our Washington football team. Another loss, and while this loss was not a death blow to Washington's playoff hopes, this loss certainly was a stiff blow to Washington's playoff hopes. Washington now 6-8, thanks to a 27-17 loss at the Philadelphia Eagles on Tuesday night. Washington was 2-6, then 1-4 straight, and now has lost 2 straight. Look, I give Washington credit. Washington fought. That was a gutsy performance on Tuesday night in what was a near impossible circumstance, but that also was a performance that featured Washington's defense getting shredded. That also was a performance that featured Washington's depleted offense, quarterbacked, yes, by Garrett Gilbert, doing way too little. And the result is Washington now almost certainly having to win out to make the postseason, and even winning out may not be good enough to make the postseason. Hello, welcome, happy holidays. We are here, we are together for this special Washington football team postgame show installment of the Al Galdi Podcast, the only DC sports podcast or show that is with you 5 days a week, with each episode out oh so early each weekday morning. The Washington football team's postponed game at the Eagles did not go as we wanted the game to go, but at least the game took place, so there is that. The NHL on Tuesday announced the postponement of the Capitals game at the Philadelphia Flyers for Tuesday night at 7 due to COVID-related issues affecting the Caps. So the Washington football team played at Philly on Tuesday night, but the Washington hockey team did not play at Philly on Tuesday night. Next segment, the front five, my five biggest takeaways from Washington's loss at the Eagles. I'll then give you lots more on the Washington football team, including thoughts on the benches. Oh, goody goody gumdrops. Washington had its own benches on Tuesday night. Golly gee, where oh where did Washington get the idea for that? I wonder. We have a lot to talk about, people. You will be hearing the best of Ron Rivera's postgame press conference from late night on Tuesday night throughout the show. A friendly reminder, if you're listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, as we are in the season of giving, to please give the podcast a 5-star rating if you haven't yet done that, and to please write a brief 1 or 2 sentence review saying how much you like the podcast. If you haven't yet done that, those things are important to the success of the podcast. Those things help out a lot. They don't cost you anything, and they take less than a minute to do, and I very much appreciate you doing those things. So thank you. You can tweet me at Al Galdi. You can email me, the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. Lots of feedback, as you might expect, on the Washington football team's loss at the Eagles. Email from Michael King. Garrett Gilbert wasn't the disaster. The defense was. Yeah, Michael, I don't disagree. Although Washington's offense wasn't nearly good enough, but the defense got done dirty on Tuesday night. There's no question about that. Email from Luke Archer. I think that Garrett Gilbert actually had a good game, especially for someone who only got a few days of practice. The only time I saw him struggle a lot was when he had pressure or not much time in the pocket. He seemed kind of panicked and almost threw a pick when throwing it away. One of the worst parts of the offense was the offensive line. The offensive line was going against a great defensive line, and some starters were still injured, but the offensive line played terribly. The run blocking was the worst part. Antonio Gibson couldn't find open holes or avoid players coming straight at him. Whenever the Eagles blitzed, or sometimes when the Eagles were just sending four, there was a lot of pressure on Garrett Gilbert. Also, when Washington was down by 10 toward the end of the fourth quarter, Washington wasn't running any no huddle, and the play clock was running down to about 10 seconds each time. When you are doing a 2-minute drill, you can't run down the play clock that much. Yeah, Luke, I agree with you on those points. Well done. I think the play clock thing, which was a noticeable thing, is a function of the Garrett Gilbert thing, that when you have a guy who just signed with a team 4 days ago, it's not going to be easy to run a proper no-huddle attack, and Washington had issues in that regard on Tuesday night. Email from Jennifer, can Mark Sanchez please be banned from covering any more Washington football team games? He was so biased against us that I thought I was listening to the Eagles radio broadcast. Just because Sanchez disgraced himself in his last game ever, and that game happened to be in a Washington uniform, that doesn't mean that he has to act non-professionally in the booth. Am I wrong, Al? Your thoughts? P.S. Keep that wacky opening music. Love it. Well, thank you, Jennifer. I'm glad that you enjoy the music. I actually didn't find Mark Sanchez to be anti-Washington in his commentary. You'd have to give me specific examples of him dogging Washington. I can't say that anything stood out to me. I will say, though, that I am kind of over Kevin Kugler and Mark Sanchez doing Washington games. I mean, I don't think that they're bad necessarily, but can we please get a different broadcast crew? I mean, every week, Kugler and Sanchez, Sanchez and Kugler. I mean, they're fine, but how about a little variety, you know? Kevin and Mark, they're like the new Sonny, Sam, and Frank with how often Kugler and Sanchez are calling Washington games this season. Does Fox not have any other broadcast team that can do a Washington game? That's my question. Well, if you have questions or concerns regarding your skin, contact Dr. George Verghese in the Mid-Atlantic Skin Surgery Institute of Maryland. Dr. Verghese is a board-certified dermatologist and Mohs surgeon. He is one of the nation's premier dermatologists. He's a big Washington football team fan, big listener of this podcast, and operating under the direction of Dr. George Verghese is the Mid-Atlantic Skin Surgery Institute of Maryland. The institute focuses on medical skin care, cosmetic procedures, and skin cancer diagnosis and comprehensive care. Dr. George Verghese and the Mid-Atlantic Skin Surgery Institute of Maryland offer treatments for conditions such as acne, psoriasis, and eczema. Dr. George Verghese and the Mid-Atlantic Skin Surgery Institute of Maryland offer state-of-the-art services such as Botox, laser hair removal, and chemical peels. Dr. George Verghese and the Mid-Atlantic Skin Surgery Institute of Maryland offer advanced treatments for many skin cancers. Heck, Dr. George Verghese and the Mid-Atlantic Skin Surgery Institute of Maryland offer free skin cancer screenings. To find out more, call 301-396-3401. Make sure you tell them that Al Galdi sent you. That phone number again is 301-396-3401 or visit midatlanticskin.com. That's midatlanticskin.com. Dr. George Verghese in the Mid-Atlantic Skin Surgery Institute of Maryland. All right. Well, time is precious, and so are we. And so let's get right to the front five. My five biggest takeaways off the Washington football team falling to 6-8 with a 27-17 loss at the Philadelphia Eagles on Tuesday night. Takeaway number one, Washington's playoff hopes now are hanging by a thread. Washington on Tuesday night was not eliminated from anything, but this loss at the Eagles sure felt like a sign that Washington may well be done in terms of realistic postseason contention. If you're like me and you believe that Washington needs to finish at least 9-8 to make the playoffs, well, Washington now being 6-8 means that Washington needs to win all three of its remaining regular season games. Those games are at the Dallas Cowboys this Sunday night at 8:20, home to the Philadelphia Eagles in Week 17, and at the New York Giants in Week 18. Can Washington win all three of those games? Sure. But how likely is that? Especially considering that this next game at the Cowboys will be a road game at the best team in the NFC East in the Cowboys, will be a game off a very short week for Washington, and could be a game in which Washington is again without a number of key players due to COVID-19 protocols and injury. I mean, we just don't know about Washington player availability. It's not a guarantee that, say, Taylor Heinicke is back for Sunday night at the Cowboys. There's also this, 9-8 wouldn't necessarily guarantee Washington anything in terms of making the playoffs. The Minnesota Vikings, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the New Orleans Saints, each of those three teams is 7-7, and only the Vikings right now are in possession of a playoff spot. The Vikings are 7th in the NFC and thus in possession of the NFC's third wildcard spot. The Eagles are 8th in the NFC. The Saints are 9th in the NFC. And Washington is 10th in the NFC. So Washington has a lot of traffic to go through to get back to being 7th in the NFC. And it may be that one or more of those 7-7 teams ends up going 10-7. The best that Washington can be is 9-8. Takeaway number two, Garrett Gilbert, all things considered, was okay. Evaluating this game is tricky because Washington really was in such a tough spot in terms of trying to win this game while missing so many players due to the COVID-19 outbreak and also due to injury. No position was more ravaged than quarterback. Washington was without its top two quarterbacks for this game, as both Taylor Heinicke and Kyle Allen remained on the reserve COVID-19 list as part of Washington's massive COVID-19 outbreak, which of course was the reason that this game on Friday got postponed from the game's original day and time of Sunday afternoon at 1. Washington placed Taylor Heinicke on the reserve COVID-19 list this past Friday morning. Washington placed Kyle Allen on the reserve COVID-19 list this past Wednesday afternoon. And unfortunately and disappointingly, neither guy tested out of COVID-19 protocols by the deadline for Tuesday night's game. That deadline was Tuesday afternoon at 4. This was Ron Rivera during his post-game press conference late night on Tuesday night on the hope that either Heinicke or Allen was going to be cleared to play in this game at the Eagles.
Well, that was, you know, you're hoping, but unfortunately it didn't happen. But hey, we went to and played with the guys we had, you know, and that's the thing I understand. It doesn't matter who's out there. Once you're out there, you got to play.
Yes, you do. And so Washington's starting quarterback for this game was Garrett Gilbert. Washington on Friday signed Garrett Gilbert off the New England Patriots practice squad as a corresponding roster move to placing Taylor Heinicke on the reserve COVID-19 list. This game marked just Gilbert's second career NFL regular season start. And like I said, Garrett Gilbert, all things considered, was okay. Washington had just signed him off the Patriots practice squad 4 days prior to the game, and the game ended up taking place in the rain in Philadelphia. We had a rainy night at Lincoln Financial Field. There was a lot working against Garrett Gilbert in this game. He finished 20 of 31, did throw for just 194 yards. That works out to just 6.26 yards per pass attempt. No touchdown passes, but also no interceptions. He took just 2 sacks, including a sack strip. He actually quarterbacked a Washington offense that went 6-13 on third downs. Again, all things considered, that's really not that bad. Now, there was plenty of bad from Garrett Gilbert, and he ultimately quarterbacked a Washington offense that wasn't close to being good enough. Garrett Gilbert on Washington's first offensive drive threw to air. Did you see this play? So, first offensive drive of the game resulted in a first quarter punt, third snap of the drive. Garrett Gilbert threw to nobody. He threw to air on a 2nd and 10 shotgun play action and completion of scrambling up the pocket. Garrett Gilbert in the first quarter threw a very dangerous pass that could have been intercepted in the end zone. Washington's third offensive drive started at the Washington 47 off the Montez Sweat first quarter sack strip that Landon Collins recovered. The drive resulted in Brian Johnson's first quarter 22-yard field goal, 2nd snap of the drive on a 1st and goal at the 7. Garrett Gilbert threw behind Ricky Seals-Jones in the end zone on an under center play action booting completion. Garrett Gilbert on the final offensive drive of the first half had Washington moving, but then took a killer sack. This was Washington's 6th offensive drive, resulted in the end of the first half. 3rd snap of the drive, Garrett Gilbert, a 3rd and 2, 5-yard shotgun completion to Terry McLaurin. 4th snap of the drive, Garrett Gilbert, a 1st and 10, 9-yard shotgun completion to Ricky Seals-Jones, who made a nice catch of a high throw by Gilbert. But then came the 5th snap of the drive, the final snap of the second quarter, on a 2nd and 1 at the Eagles 48. Garrett Gilbert took a sack from interior defensive lineman Fletcher Cox for a 10-yard loss. Garrett Gilbert had a near pick in the 3rd quarter. Washington's 7th offensive drive resulted in a 3rd quarter 3-and-out. 1st snap of the drive on a 1st and 10 for Washington at its 25. Garrett Gilbert, off being pressured, threw a near pick on an under center play action screen. The ball was actually dropped by Eagles safety Rodney McLeod, who's a local. He went to DeMatha Catholic High School in Hyattsville, Maryland, and then to the University of Virginia. But that was a near disastrous moment for Washington, that near pick there by Garrett Gilbert. But there was good from Garrett Gilbert. Garrett Gilbert had a huge third down completion in the 4th quarter. Washington's 9th offensive drive resulted in Jarrett Patterson's 4th quarter 1st and goal, 1-yard shotgun handoff touchdown run. 6th snap of the drive, Garrett Gilbert, a 2nd and 13, 12-yard shotgun play action completion to Ricky Seals-Jones. That set up the 7th snap of the drive and the snap right before the touchdown on a 3rd and 1 for Washington at the Eagles 30. Garrett Gilbert had a 29-yard offset eye play action boot completion to John Bates. That was one of the plays of the game for Washington's offense. Garrett Gilbert connected on a big completion on a 1st quarter scoring drive for Washington. This is Washington's 3rd offensive drive, started at the Washington 47 off the Montez Sweat 1st quarter sack strip that Landon Collins recovered, resulted in Brian Johnson's 1st quarter 22-yard field goal. The 1st snap of the drive, Garrett Gilbert, a 1st and 10, 46-yard shotgun play action completion to Terry McLaurin on a 50-50 ball. Terry making the catch of the underthrown pass while being covered by corner Darius Slay. Also, Garrett Gilbert did have Washington's offense moving on Washington's next-to-last offensive drive of the game. This was Washington's 10th offensive drive, took place with Washington trailing 27-17, did result in a 4th quarter turnover on downs on a sack strip of Garrett Gilbert by interior defensive lineman Fletcher Cox and Javon Hargrave. 3rd snap of the drive, Garrett Gilbert, a 3rd and 5, 6-yard shotgun completion to Adam Humphries. 5th snap of the drive, Garrett Gilbert, a 2nd and 9, 13-yard shotgun play action completion to Cam Sims. 8th snap of the drive, Garrett Gilbert, a 3rd and 10, 10-yard shotgun completion to Adam Humphries. So when you consider everything that was working against Garrett Gilbert, that he did what he did on Tuesday night, I thought was all right. I mean, I don't want to overstate what Garrett Gilbert did, but I thought, all things considered, Garrett Gilbert was okay. He was not Washington's biggest problem in this game, but, you know, ultimately, Garrett Gilbert could only do so much. And ultimately, the overall offensive output for Washington in this game wasn't close enough to being good enough. Ron Rivera, during his post-game press conference on the performance of Garrett Gilbert.
Well, I thought it was, you know, he gave a heck of an effort. You know, he made some good decisions. He delivered some good balls, and just his timing and rhythm was off a little bit. And it showed, you know, when we got in a couple of situations that it's just he hadn't had enough reps. You know, he was late a couple times coming back off of his reads. He hung on his reads a little bit longer. But, man, he made some plays, and he fought and he battled. And you know, when a guy does that, you appreciate that.
By the way, in case you're curious, because I got some questions about this on Twitter, Washington's backup quarterback for this game at the Eagles on Tuesday night was Kyle Shurmur. Washington on Tuesday afternoon announced the elevation of Kyle Shurmur from the practice squad as a COVID-19 replacement. So, yeah, Washington's two quarterbacks on Tuesday night were Garrett Gilbert and Kyle Shurmur. Not exactly filled with experience, are they? Unlike the law firm of Paulson and Nace. If you have a case, contact Paulson and Nace. Paulson and Nace handles complex personal injury, medical negligence, and wrongful death cases. The services of Paulson and Nace are available in D.C., Maryland, and West Virginia. Paulson and Nace is a law firm that wins. Paulson and Nace has recovered millions of dollars for the sick and injured. Why? Because Paulson and Nace has trial experience, which, believe it or not, is not something that every law firm has. You see, not all law firms focusing on medical malpractice, birth injuries, product liability, and other personal injury matters have trial experience. In fact, many law firms have no courtroom experience at all and look to settle such cases without ever presenting them to a jury. A client has limited options for reasonable settlement if he or she is represented by an attorney with limited trial experience. Paulson and Nace is different. Chris Nace is a past president of the D.C. Trial Lawyers. Matt Nace is a member of the board of the D.C. Trial Lawyers and has just tried two cases in D.C. If you have a case, contact Paulson and Nace. If you feel as if you've been wronged, if you have a complex personal injury, medical negligence, or wrongful death case, or you think that you may have one but aren't sure, call Paulson and Nace and schedule a no-obligation appointment. Yeah, you're obligated to nothing. You can call Paulson and Nace at 202-902-7611. That's 202-902-7611. When you call, make sure that you tell Paulson and Nace that Al Galdi sent you. Schedule your no-obligation appointment by calling 202-902-7611. Paulson and Nace, when tragedy happens, let their family take care of yours. This is The Front Five, as I take care of you with my five biggest takeaways off the Washington football team falling to 6-8 with a 27-17 loss at the Philadelphia Eagles on Tuesday night. Takeaway number three, Washington's defense had its worst game since the start of the four-game winning streak in November. Nothing, and I mean nothing, had turned around in a positive fashion this Washington football team season like Washington's defense. And I'm not going to sit here and say that the defense all of a sudden is back to the dreck that we saw over Washington's first eight games of this season, because evaluating this defense, just like evaluating this game, is tricky. Washington's defense for this game was without corner Kendall Fuller and safety Cameron Curl due to them being on the reserve COVID-19 list. Now, Washington for this game did have a number of players who, during this Washington COVID-19 outbreak, had gone on the reserve COVID-19 list but then come off the reserve COVID-19 list. Interior defensive linemen Jonathan Allen, Matt Ioannidis, and Tim Settle. Edge defenders Montez Sweat, James Smith-Williams, Casey Tuhill, and Daniel Wise. However, both Tim Settle and James Smith-Williams were healthy inactives for this game. And then you had the injuries for Washington's defense during the game. Corner William Jackson III suffered an ankle injury in the second quarter. Edge defender Casey Tuhill got banged up in the third quarter. Edge defender Daniel Wise suffered a knee injury in the second quarter on a cut block by tight end Dallas Goedert. And thus, Washington's defense got torched in this game. And by the way, the final score of this game would have been a lot worse if not for Washington's two first quarter takeaways. 27-17 doesn't necessarily tell the story of this game. Washington allowed the Eagles to generate 519 total net yards of offense, allowed the Eagles to average 7.4 yards per play, allowed the Eagles to go 7 of 13 on third downs. Washington's run defense was horrendous. Washington allowed Eagles running backs Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard to total 33 carries for 200 yards. That's 6.06 yards per carry. You know, Washington through week 14 was number 7 in the NFL this season in run defense per Football Outsiders DVOA metric. The Eagles through week 14 were number 3 in the NFL in rushing offense this season per DVOA. This was a matchup of strength versus strength, and the Eagles' strength ended up being much stronger than Washington's strength. Ron Rivera, during his postgame press conference on Tuesday night, on whether the many Washington defensive linemen who were on the reserve COVID-19 list but then played in this game were hurt by being out for a while. Did that collective layoff hurt Washington's defensive linemen?
It did, you know, and it's unfortunate, but, you know, we were hoping we can get through it. You know, we had some momentum early on, and we couldn't capitalize on the momentum. And you know, you can't let teams, good teams, you know, stay around. If you get an opportunity, you got to make plays, and we didn't do that.
No, you did not. You also didn't stop Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts. Washington got dissected by Jalen Hurts. Washington allowed Hurts to go 20 of 26 for 296 yards. That works out to 11.38 yards per pass attempt. Hurts had a touchdown pass, did have an interception. He also had 8 carries for 38 yards and 2 touchdowns. Washington did sack Hurts 3 times. But this was Ron Rivera during his postgame press conference on Tuesday night on Jalen Hurts.
It's a triple threat. You know, he's going to either hand it off, he's going to either throw it, and he's going to run it. I mean, and you've got to be able to play all three. And early on, we were doing a pretty good job playing pretty disciplined. And then they popped one early on us. We had the run bottled up, and then we started to fold. And you can't do that. You've got to stay disciplined. You've got to stay in your creases. And once that ball starts to bounce sideways, that's when, you know, you got your opportunity to make the play. You can't fold it. And we did, unfortunately. And we know when that happens, and then they find the crease, and next thing you know, it turns into what should have been a no gain, turns into 18, 19-yard run. And yep. That's you know, that's, again, just got to trust it.
And we also had this with Washington's defense in Tuesday night's loss at the Eagles. Washington got scorched by an opposing tight end. Jeez, when has that ever happened before? Washington allowed Eagles tight end Dallas Goedert to finish with 7 receptions for 135 yards on 9 targets. So gone from Philly is Zach Ertz. Dallas Goedert now is the man. And Dallas Goedert has taken the torch in terms of Eagles tight ends just destroying Washington. It happened on Tuesday night. Goedert having a big night against Washington. A night that could have been even bigger because Goedert was guilty of multiple drops. Among the many bad moments for Washington's defense in this game, the Eagles' fourth offensive drive was an 8-play, 75-yard drive, resulted in Jake Elliott's second quarter 20-yard field goal. Second snap of the drive, Jeremy Reeves had the football essentially ripped away from him by tight end Dallas Goedert on a Jalen Hurts second and 9, 45-yard under-center play-action bomb to Goedert. Eagles' fifth offensive drive, an 11-play, 70-yard drive, resulted in Jalen Hurts' late second quarter, second and goal, 1-yard quarterback sneak touchdown run. 7th snap of the drive on a 2nd and 6 at the Washington 43. Washington gave up a Jalen Hurts 21-yard shotgun completion to tight end Dallas Goedert. 10th snap of the drive in the snap right before the first half 2-minute warning on a 3rd and 2 at the Washington 14. Washington gave up a 10-yard shotgun read option run to running back Miles Sanders, who had a massive hole through which to run. The Eagles' 6th offensive drive was the opening drive of the second half. 6 plays, 75 yards, resulted in Jalen Hurts' 3rd quarter, 2nd and goal, 1-yard quarterback sneak touchdown run. 3rd snap of the drive, Washington got blocked big time on a 1st and 10, 38-yard pistol handoff run by running back Miles Sanders. 4th snap of the drive, Jalen Hurts, a 1st and 10, 20-yard shotgun play action completion to tight end Dallas Goedert. Eagles' 8th offensive drive resulted in Jake Elliott's late 3rd quarter 37-yard field goal. 4th snap of the drive, Washington blocked big time for a gaping hole up the middle on a 1st and 10, 15-yard pistol handoff run by running back Jordan Howard. Eagles' 9th offensive drive, 8 plays, 80 yards, resulted in Jalen Hurts' 4th quarter 1st and 10, 19-yard shotgun play action sprint out touchdown pass to receiver Greg Ward on a back shoulder throw. Ward beat Jeremy Reeves. Despite Reeves having tight coverage on Ward, that was just an excellent throw by Jalen Hurts. The seventh snap of the drive, the snap right before the touchdown on a 3rd and 6 for the Eagles at their 47. Jalen Hurts, a 34-yard shotgun completion to receiver Jalen Reagor on a screen. Washington's defense was not good. Okay, 27-17 does not tell the tale of the extent to which the Eagles put up yards and the Eagles moved the football. The Eagles ended up outgaining Washington in this game, 519-237. This was a bad game for Washington's defense. Takeaway number 4, Washington's running game was awful. Washington made it a point to try to run the ball in this game, and the running game was terrible, okay? This game is an example of why, you know, it's great when you're winning and you're running the football because you have leads, but when you're trailing and you try to run the football, look, if it works, great, but if it doesn't work, it drives you nuts. And I know it drove me nuts how Washington continued to try to run the football in this game, and the running game was just doing nothing in this game. So Antonio Gibson suffered a toe injury in the first quarter. Antonio Gibson finished this game with 15 carries for just 26 yards. Did have a touchdown run. He also had 6 receptions for 39 yards on 7 targets. Now look, there was some good with Antonio Gibson in this game. He had a nice reception on Washington's first offensive drive. This was the first offensive drive of the game. Resulted in a first quarter punt for the first snap of the drive. Garrett Gilbert, a 1st and 10, 19-yard shotgun completion to Antonio Gibson on a screen. Gibson made a nice move to get by linebacker TJ Edwards for major yardage after the catch. Also, Antonio Gibson was a force on Washington's first touchdown drive. This was Washington's 2nd offensive drive of the game. Started at the Eagles 26 off Landon Collins' first quarter interception. The drive resulted in Antonio Gibson's touchdown run. His first quarter 1st and goal, 1-yard shotgun handoff touchdown run. The 2nd snap of the drive, Antonio Gibson, a 2nd and 8, 6-yard shotgun handoff run. The 3rd snap of the drive, Antonio Gibson, a 3rd and 2, 5-yard shotgun handoff run. The 6th snap of the drive and the snap right before the touchdown, Antonio Gibson, a 3rd and 2, 4-yard shotgun toss run. So all of that was good with Antonio Gibson. Antonio Gibson on the drive that resulted in his touchdown run had 6 carries for 20 yards and the touchdown. So, okay, you take that out, you say, Gibson, what did he do the rest of the game? Gibson, over every other Washington offensive drive in the game, totaled, you ready for this? 9 carries for 6 yards. Yeah. If you take out the drive that resulted in Antonio Gibson's touchdown run, Gibson in the game, 9 carries for 6 yards. And I want to make this clear, this isn't all Antonio Gibson's fault. The blocking was abysmal in this game. And like I said, Gibson was dealing with a toe injury, but the results were the results. And I tell you, Scott Turner has this thing of calling runs on 2nd and longs that I don't really understand, but it's become an undeniable thing, and we saw it multiple times in this game. Washington's 5th offensive drive resulted in a 2nd quarter 3-and-out. 3rd snap of the drive, Antonio Gibson, a 3rd and 1 shotgun handoff run for a 1-yard loss. Washington's 7th offensive drive resulted in a 3rd quarter 3-and-out. 2nd snap of the drive on a 2nd and 10. So here you go. For Washington at its 25, Antonio Gibson, a shotgun handoff run for a 1-yard loss. Washington's 8th offensive drive resulted in a 3rd quarter punt. 1st snap of the drive, Antonio Gibson, a 1st and 10, 8-yard under center handoff run. Okay, that's good. But the 4th snap of the drive on a 2nd and 10 for Washington at its 25, Antonio Gibson, a shotgun handoff run for minus 6 yards. A complete disaster of a play. Washington's 9th offensive drive. This drive did result in Jarrett Patterson's 4th quarter, 1st and goal, 1-yard shotgun handoff touchdown run. The 5th snap of the drive, Antonio Gibson, a 1st and 13 shotgun handoff run for no gain. Now, like I said, the blocking for Gibson wasn't good, okay? But Gibson also was dealing with the toe. Here was Ron Rivera during his postgame press conference on whether Gibson's toe injury hindered Gibson.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately it did. He tried to battle through it and try to fight, and, you know, he gave it a hell of an effort. He really did, and you know, he fought.
Yeah, he did, and Scott Turner kept calling plays for him, but the results kept being no bueno. Jarrett Patterson on Tuesday night, 4 carries for 20 yards and a touchdown, so that's good, but he also had a fumble. Patterson was not targeted in the passing game. So you did have the touchdown run from Jarrett Patterson. Washington's 9th offensive drive resulted in Jarrett Patterson's 4th quarter first and goal 1-yard shotgun handoff touchdown run. But Jarrett Patterson also had a fumble. Washington's 4th offensive drive resulted in a 2nd quarter 3-and-out. The first snap of the drive, Jarrett Patterson, a fumble that was recovered by Samuel Cosmi. This on a 1st-and-10 3-yard I formation handoff run. Way too many fumbles by Washington running backs this season. Antonio Gibson has been the primary culprit, but here you had Patterson with a fumble on Tuesday night. And the Patterson fumble brought him out of the game and brought Jonathan Williams into the game. Jonathan Williams, 1 carry for 5 yards in the game. He also was not targeted in the passing game on Tuesday night. And then takeaway number 5. This was yet another underwhelming game for Terry McLaurin. Now, let me make this clear. This is not all of Terry's fault. I think you could actually make the case that this mostly isn't Terry's fault. A lot of this is not on him, okay? He's at the mercy of his quarterbacks. He's at the mercy of his offensive situation. But Terry McLaurin, off a great start to his 2021 season, has really cooled off. Like, whatever the reasons, the production from Terry McLaurin has really gone down over the last month or so. Terry on Tuesday night had 2 receptions for 51 yards on 4 targets. Now, he did make the big catch early in the game. Washington's 3rd offensive drive resulted in the Brian Johnson first quarter 22-yard field goal. The first snap of the drive was that Garrett Gilbert 1st-and-10, 46-yard shotgun play action completion to Terry McLaurin, and Terry did a great job on this play. This was a 50-50 ball. Terry made the catch of what was an underthrown pass while being covered by corner Darius Slay, but there wasn't much else with Terry the rest of the game. Now, Garrett Gilbert being Washington's quarterback certainly has something to do with that, but Terry McLaurin now, over Washington's last 4 games, has just 9 receptions for 124 yards and no touchdowns on 19 targets. I get that Terry can be doubled. I get that Terry can impact the game in ways other than just making catches, right? Because he can draw attention away from other Washington pass catchers. But if you follow the NFL, you know that the great receivers end up getting their catches, end up producing, because teams find ways to get footballs in the hands of top playmakers. Terry McLaurin is a top playmaker for the Washington football team, and he is barely touching footballs right now. Again, last 4 games, just 9 receptions. Not all his fault. My main point here is that Washington is wasting a great receiver right now in Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin, 9 receptions over the last 4 games. That is nowhere near acceptable. So there you go, the front 5. My 5 biggest takeaways off the Washington football team falling to 6-8 with this 27-17 loss at the Philadelphia Eagles on Tuesday night. Takeaway number 1, Washington's playoff hopes now hanging by a thread. Takeaway number 2, Garrett Gilbert, all things considered, was okay. Takeaway number 3, Washington's defense had its worst game since the start of the 4-game winning streak in November. Takeaway number 4, Washington's running game was awful. And takeaway number 5, this was yet another underwhelming game for Terry McLaurin. Up next, much more on the Washington football team, including Ron Rivera on whether Washington's many absences are just too much to overcome. And I'll have thoughts for you on some good from Washington's defense on Tuesday night, the apparent end of J.D. McKissick's season, and yes, the benches. Are you aware of Washington's benches? I'll get to all of that and more after this.
Cool. Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is a special Washington football team postgame show installment of the Al Galdi podcast. More now on Washington off it falling to 6-8 with the 27-17 loss at the Philadelphia Eagles on Tuesday night. So Washington, of course, was without so many key players for this game. That's not an excuse for the loss. I'm not whining and crying like Eagles players and fans whined and cried about the postponement of this game. I'm just acknowledging reality. Like, it's true. Washington was without a lot of key players for this game. Washington on Tuesday night was without a truckload of key players due to COVID-19 protocols or injury, right? Taylor Heinicke and Kyle Allen and Curtis Samuel and Logan Thomas and J.D. McKissick and Brandon Scherff and Cornelius Lucas and Chase Roullier and Tyler Larson and Wes Schweitzer and Chase Young and Kendall Fuller and Cameron Curl and on and on and on we can go. And so Washington now is 6-8 and fading in the NFC playoff picture. I mean, Washington has gone from winning 4 consecutive games to now losing 2 straight games. Ron Rivera, during his postgame press conference late night on Tuesday night, on whether all of Washington's absences ultimately were too much to overcome in this game.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, we had some guys out there competing and making some things happen. I mean, early on, we took the ball away a couple of times. We scored some points, you know, but unfortunately, when again, you have other opportunities to make plays, you just got to make those plays.
Yes, you do. Will those plays be made in Washington's next game? The 6-8 Washington football team will be at the 10-4 and NFC East leading Dallas Cowboys this Sunday night at 8:20, an ultra short week for Washington, just 4 days between games. Ron, during his postgame press conference on Tuesday night, on what now for Washington with this game at the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football coming up in just a few days?
Well, the biggest thing is try and get them as rested as possible physically. You know, we got to travel out there. It's Christmas weekend, all that kind of stuff. So we just got to make sure that the guys are rested. And, you know, the plus is we played them a week ago. The plus is the coaches had an opportunity to get everything prepared. They just, you know, now it's just a matter of putting it together for the guys, and then we'll go from there.
Well, as I discussed during the front five, Tuesday night's loss at the Eagles was a very bad game for Washington's defense, but I do want to acknowledge some of the good from Washington's defense. So Washington did generate 2 big first quarter takeaways, and Washington turned those takeaways into points, although only one of the takeaways resulted in a touchdown. But Washington takeaway number one, the Eagles' first offensive drive, the third snap of the drive on a 3rd-and-1 for the Eagles at their 22. Landon Collins, an interception of a Jalen Hurts shotgun play action pass that was dropped by tight end Dallas Goedert. The ball went off Goddard's hands and then off his right heel and into Landon's arms. This was an interception that, like, nobody realized happened, including Landon Collins, who didn't run the football back. Had he run the football back, it's very possible that he would have had himself a pick six. But the officials convened after the play and determined that, yes, a pick had taken place. The ensuing Washington offensive drive resulted in Antonio Gibson's first quarter, first and goal, one-yard shotgun handoff touchdown run. And then later in the first quarter came Washington takeaway number two, the Eagles' second offensive drive, the seventh snap of the drive on a second and six for the Eagles at the Washington 16. Montez Sweat, who was back. We saw Montez for the first time since Washington's loss at the Denver Broncos in week eight. Remember, Montez suffered a fractured jaw in that game and then just a few weeks ago wound up on the reserve COVID-19 list. But Montez Sweat on this play plowing through Eagles right guard Nate Herbig for a first quarter sack strip of Jalen Hurts that Landon Collins recovered and returned for 23 yards. Now, the ensuing Washington offensive drive resulted in three as opposed to seven, resulted in the Brian Johnson first quarter 22-yard field goal. But that was great seeing Washington produce two first quarter takeaways like that. By the way, also on that Eagles second offensive drive was a sack by Ron Rivera's favorite player, Bunmi Rotimi. Right, Ron?
Rotimi Boomi.
Okay, well, that guy, whatever his name is, but Bunmi Rotimi had a sack on the Eagles' second offensive drive. Bunmi Rotimi beating the Eagles' left tackle Jordan Mailata for a first and 10 sack of Jalen Hurts for a 2-yard loss. Speaking of sacks, how about the Jonathan Allen sack in this game? What a job by Jonathan Allen on that play. This came on the Eagles' eighth offensive drive, which resulted in Jake Elliott's late third quarter 37-yard field goal. The eighth snap of the drive on a second and eight at the Washington 21, Jonathan Allen had one of the more impressive sacks that you'll ever see. Allen used one hand, his right hand, to sack Jalen Hurts for a 5-yard loss while Allen was being blocked by the Eagles' left guard, Sua Opeta. Okay, so like if you remember the play, you know of what I speak. If you didn't see the play for whatever reason, Jonathan Allen is being blocked. He is engaged with Opeta. And while being engaged with Opeta, Allen stuck out his right hand and was able to, while still contending with Opeta, sack Jalen Hurts. That was spectacular. That was phenomenal. Like as if you needed further reason to believe that Jonathan Allen is having an all-pro season. That play right there is it. Like, that play right there, that is the resume, okay? That's the tape that you send to the voters for the all-pro team. And you say, you see this? I did this. Make me first team all-pro. That was some job by Jonathan Allen on that sack. He also drew a penalty in the game. The Eagles' third offensive drive resulted in an early second quarter punt. The fourth snap of the drive and the penultimate snap of the first quarter, Jonathan Allen drew a first and 10-yard holding penalty on left guard Sua Opeta. You also had on that drive the eighth snap, Bobby McCain drawing a fourth and one 10-yard holding penalty on Eagles left tackle Jordan Mailata on a downfield block, negating a fourth and one 7-yard run by running back Jordan Howard. Well, a running back who was not available to Washington in this game was J.D. McKissic, and we got some bad news on J.D. McKissic on Tuesday afternoon. Washington on Tuesday afternoon, hours before the start of the loss at the Eagles, placed J.D. McKissic on the reserve injured list. Now, J.D. McKissic, the previous day, Monday, had been ruled out for the game due to a neck injury. So he was set to be inactive for a third consecutive game. J.D. McKissic had been inactive for the previous two games due to a concussion that he suffered in the win over the Seattle Seahawks at FedEx Field on Monday Night Football in Week 12. But presumably now, J.D. McKissic's season is over. And it's a shame because J.D. McKissic was having a really nice season. J.D. McKissic over 11 games this season, 48 carries for 212 yards and two touchdowns. That's 4.42 yards per carry. Also has 43 receptions for 397 yards and two touchdowns on 53 targets. But it's not just the raw numbers. If you look at some of the advanced stuff, J.D. McKissic is having a second consecutive quality season for the Washington football team. J.D. McKissic, as of games through Monday, so going into games on Tuesday, was number five among 52 non-qualified NFL running backs, those each with between 20 and 99 rush attempts in rushing DVOA for Football Outsiders this season at 22%. And J.D. McKissic, through games on Monday, was number 12 among 49 qualified NFL running backs, those each with at least 25 targets in receiving DVOA for Football Outsiders at 18.2%. So on a per-touch efficiency basis, J.D. McKissic had been one of the better running backs in the NFL this season. He, of course, has had some big receptions for Washington this season. In fact, J.D. McKissic had a big reception in each of Washington's first two wins this season. The Week 2 30-29 walk-off win over the New York Giants at FedEx Field. Taylor Heinicke had that fourth quarter, first and 10, 56-yard shotgun completion to J.D. McKissic down the right sideline as McKissic scorched the Giants linebacker, Tate Crowder. The next play was that Heinicke fourth quarter touchdown pass to Ricky Seals-Jones. And then in the Week 4 34-30 win at the Atlanta Falcons, Taylor Heinicke had a third and 7, 30-yard shotgun touchdown pass to J.D. McKissic with 33 seconds left in the fourth quarter on a broken play, on which Heinicke backpedaled, moved to his left, and then threw across both hash marks to McKissic, who caught the ball at the 30, broke through an attempted tackle by Falcons linebacker Deion Jones, exploded down the right sideline, and then made an incredible leap toward the front right pylon for a 34-30 Washington lead. Washington did fail on its two-point conversion attempt, but Washington won the game 34-30. So get well soon, J.D. McKissic. You know, he's got the neck. It's, I mean, presumably related to the concussion, but again, the labeling has changed. McKissic has gone from being said to be dealing with a concussion to now dealing with a neck, but he's on the reserve injured list. So in theory, his season is done. I suppose if Washington makes the postseason, we could see J.D. McKissic in the playoffs. But, you know, for now, it would seem like the plan is for J.D. McKissic not to play again this year. So it's a shame. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent this offseason. That's going to be interesting. If you're Washington, do you spend money to re-sign J.D. McKissic, or do you go with somebody else? You know, the thinking was with Washington and Jarrett Patterson that Patterson might be here to replace J.D. McKissic after this season. I don't think you can look at Washington's running back situation and feel like you have an obvious replacement for J.D. McKissic. I mean, you know, Patterson's been all right, but he doesn't do the things that J.D. McKissic can do. And, you know, with Antonio Gibson, he gets hurt a lot. I mean, I like Antonio Gibson, but he gets hurt a lot. He fumbles. And he's not the receiving threat, at least not yet, that J.D. McKissic has been. So, you know, I would certainly not advocate for spending big money on J.D. McKissic, but I don't think that you're going to have to do that to keep J.D. McKissic. So I would think there's a decent chance that he's back with Washington next season. All right, let's get to the benches, okay? Only with the Washington football team do you have extended conversation and coverage of the benches, but such is life if you're a Washington football team fan. So Washington, for this game on Tuesday night, brought in the team's own benches for its sideline. Mitch Tischler of NBC Sports Washington on Tuesday morning tweeted that Washington had reached out to Dragon Seats, which is a Cleveland-based sports bench company, and that Washington would be using its own Dragon Seats benches for Washington's remaining three road games in the 2021 regular season: at the Philadelphia Eagles in Week 15, at the Dallas Cowboys in Week 16, and at the New York Giants in Week 18. Now, of course, Washington doing this is a reaction to what the Dallas Cowboys did for Washington's 27-20 loss to the Cowboys at FedEx Field in Week 14. As you likely remember, the Cowboys for that game flew in their own sideline benches. And ESPN Cowboys insider Todd Archer on the morning of the game, December 12th, tweeted, quote, "Here's the deal on the Cowboys benches. Cowboys got word from Seattle that the hot seat benches provided for them at FedEx Field kept going out during the game. Cowboys partnered with a company in Cleveland that shipped them to FedEx Field so wouldn't be an issue," end quote. Well, the company in Cleveland is Dragon Seats. Washington struck a deal with Dragon Seats, and now Washington is doing, over the team's final three road games in the 2021 regular season, what the Cowboys did for their game at Washington in Week 14. Now, take a listen to this. Ron Rivera, during his post-game press conference late night on Tuesday night, on what is the deal with Washington bringing in its own benches for this game at the Eagles.
I couldn't tell you. You know, just that had nothing to do with what happened on the field.
And that was it. Now, does that sound to you like Ron Rivera was behind or even in favor of the benches? The benches pretty clearly are a Dan Snyder thing. The benches pretty clearly are the work of the Danny. Now, look, Washington flying in its own benches for its final three road games in the 2021 regular season is fine and harmless. I mean, it's really not that big of a deal. But here's the thing. The move reeks. The move so reeks of Dan Snyder trying to be like Jerry Jones. For those who don't know, Dan has looked up to Jerry for years. Dan has wanted to be Jerry for years. And so Dan bringing in benches for Washington a week after Jerry brought in benches for the Cowboys reeks of, you know, little brother trying to be like big brother. You know, what Jerry did in Week 14 was clever and funny. What Washington is doing is coming off like being a copycat. I mean, it's coming off as unoriginal. And Dan Snyder copying Jerry Jones in Washington flying in its own benches for its final three road games in the 2021 regular season is, to me, another example of Dan being reactive instead of proactive. You know, one of the more aggravating things, if you're a Washington football team fan, is that Washington under Dan has this history of never spending money on infrastructure until the team absolutely has to. I mean, think about it. Washington did not have an indoor practice facility, a bubble, at the team's headquarters until 2012. Washington did not conduct much-needed major upgrades to things like the weight room and the kitchen at the team's headquarters until 2013. Washington's weight room was an embarrassment for years. Washington's weight room was like a broom closet at the team's facility until the upgrade in 2013. Heck, this past May, Washington began the first major reconstruction of FedEx Field's grass surface since the stadium opened in 1997. Why is Washington always lagging on this stuff? Okay? Why is Washington under Dan always so behind on this stuff? So while Washington flying in its own benches for its final three road games in the 2021 regular season is fine and harmless, Washington flying in its own benches for its final three road games in the 2021 regular season also, to me, is a reminder that the team under Dan seemingly always has to be forced or led into doing things instead of the team just doing the things on its own. You know, this isn't an example of Dan being forward-thinking and cutting-edge in terms of, hey, we can maybe gain a competitive advantage by me spending some extra bucks here to fly in our own benches for these remaining road games. No, this is Dan doing something because Jerry did it, okay? So I don't really give Dan or Washington credit for this. I mean, again, it's fine that Washington is doing this, okay? I don't really think it's that big of a deal, but let's understand what this is and where this is coming from, to say nothing of if you're going to try to pull a baller move like flying in your own benches, how about you win the game, okay? Because what makes what Jerry did at FedEx Field in Week 14 with the Cowboys benches look good is that the Cowboys came to FedEx Field, took it over with their fans, and smashed Washington in that game. Washington, if anything, got smashed at the Eagles on Tuesday night. So, okay, you flew in your own benches, fine. And then he got ripped at Philly on Tuesday night. So, yeah, the benches. Good for you, Danny, for doing this. All right, that will do it for you and me for now. Keep the feedback coming. You can tweet me at Al Galdi. You can email me, the Al Galdi podcast at yahoo.com. Thursday show, episode 213, will feature much more on the Washington football team off it falling to 6-8 with a 27-17 loss at the Philadelphia Eagles on Tuesday night. Ron Rivera is expected to be doing a day after the game Zoom press conference on Wednesday, so we'll have the thoughts of the Don Ron, to go through. Also, all postgame ACC games on Wednesday night for Virginia and Virginia Tech. The Cavaliers will host Clemson Wednesday night at 8. The Hokies will be at number 2 Duke Wednesday night at 9. Georgetown was supposed to play at number 22 Providence on Wednesday night, but the Big East on Tuesday morning announced that the game had been canceled due to COVID issues in the Georgetown program. Per current Big East policy, Georgetown has forfeited the game and a loss will be assigned in the conference standings. Providence will be assigned a win. Seems a bit harsh that the conference couldn't just reschedule the game. But anyway, have a great rest of your Wednesday, and I'll talk to you on Thursday.
Ratimi Boomi.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.